I'm really excited. We have Real Options with us today. This is an honor and a privilege to host them. They're going to provide us with updates, directions, maybe some opportunity to get involved. And then we also have an opportunity at the end to give and to further the ministry that God's doing there. So we will invite Lindsay to come up and Wendy. But first, we're going to start with a video, and then we're going to hand it off. So thank you, God. All right, let's go ahead and play the video. Thank you.
My name is Stefania. I came to the United States in 2008 from Congo. I have been a client of Real Options since learning that I was pregnant with my baby in spring of 2022. In my culture, it is anticipated that others know you are pregnant before you know yourself. The women proud themselves of being able to tell before the mothers know. One lady who came into my workplace week after week would come in and say, "You are pregnant, you are pregnant." I kept telling her there was no way I could have a baby inside of me. After weeks of this happening, I finally decided to get a pregnancy test. My mind was getting the better of me. I sat in my car for hours googling how to know if you're pregnant. My thirst eventually led me to Real Options. I finally found the courage to make the call and set up a pregnancy test. I looked down and touched my belly thinking, "There's no way, but I feel different." I had to settle in my mind that I was pregnant and I knew I needed to get rid of it. I didn't sleep the whole night before the appointment. I was terrified of what might hear them say. The next day, I showed up to the appointment. Rachel, a nurse from Real Options, took me back and started the test. I was nervous the entire time, but she helped calm me down while waiting. After a little while, she came back into the room and said to me, "I don't know if you feel this is good news to you or not, but the test was positive." My heart dropped. I felt so sick that I thought I was going to pass out. Abortion had never been an option or something I thought of until I was in this situation myself. I knew I had to get rid of this baby. I could not have a baby right now. I just set up into a stable job and a place to live with roommates. Right then and there, abortion seemed to be my only option. I had no idea how far I was at this point. So they offered me an ultrasound the same day. When we started the ultrasound, Rachel showed me the screen and I saw a baby. I was shocked. The baby seemed too big. She told me I was definitely past the first trimester. Mrs. Crystal was also in there and asked me if she could show me a model of what my baby would look like. I agreed, and she brought it out and I laid it on my chest. I knew right away I had to keep this baby. As I sat on the table holding this model so closely, Rachel asked me, "Do you know what you plan to do?" I quickly answered, "Yes, I cannot kill my baby. I will keep her." And I felt relief come over my mind and body. I knew that keeping my baby was the right thing to do. Rachel called and found a doctor that would take me on as a patient. The first appointment that we went to confirm that I was past the first trimester and measure at 34 weeks. Crystal took me to all my appointments, stayed with me at the hospital, and helped me with my baby. Real Options continue to help me. I have no support, no family, and no one to rely on. Re-Options stepped up right away and become my family. Re-Options went with me to see a mother and baby home, and then also helped me to get into the home. I then started the Earn While You Learn lesson at Re-Option. They helped me learn how to prepare and take care of my baby. I still live in the mother and baby house, and they help me on a daily basis. I also continue to go to the Re-Option weekly for classes. They help me so much. I have a baby that I never would have had if it were not for Re-Option. My baby brings me so much joy. I look at her now and I cry thinking of how I almost took her life away and how people do that every day. Babies are such a blessing from God. Re-Options have become my family, my home. I feel happy and grateful when I get to come and see my family at Re-Options. I love bringing my baby to see them, and they all love my baby and I so much. I will keep coming to Re-Options forever. My baby is doing great. She's a happy and healthy baby. I am working a job to save for my own place where I can raise my baby. I am happier than I ever been. Thank you to everyone that gives so that Re-Option can stay open and help people keep their babies like they did mine. Thank you for opening this center. Without this center and the people ministering there, I would not have my baby.
Am I on? Is this on? Okay, thank you. I want to give you a quick update on Sefania. She actually is now in her very own apartment. So that was something she was working towards. She's getting involved in a church. And you saw Crystal on there. Crystal is no longer our center manager because she is now ministering with her husband. Again, ministering with her husband. But she's in touch with Sefania. So that is a picture of what we do. I feel like I'm so close to everybody. I feel like, I can't really back up anymore. So what was that? Oh, you like that? Okay, good. I'm actually going to set my Bible here for a second. So, River of Life, good morning. I have to just say before I start, the worship this morning, I am just shook. It was just amazing. I was wishing the tissues were a little bit closer to me. Yes, I didn't want to be so obvious and like come up on the stage, but I was just like, oh man, my mascara is probably running. So you saw a picture with that video of what we do, and I know this church is very familiar. I'm not like texting anyone. I'm just setting a timer to make sure I don't go too bad over the time. So that was just a video that shows really a lot of what we do. We've been around since 1985 in the two biggest cities in the state, Nashua and Manchester, and we minister to those facing unplanned pregnancies. You saw in the video, we offer pregnancy testing, ultrasounds. Everything we do is free of cost and free of judgment. We also have parenting classes. We have two of our wonderful client advocates right here, Ron and Kathy. We have community referrals that we do, adoption referral services, relationship training, Christianity Explored, so many things that we offer. But that video just kind of gives you a picture of it. We also have a post-abortion ministry program called Mending Hearts, which Wendy will be coming up to share about in a little bit. So it was a very big year last year with the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Everybody knows that. This is an exciting time. There are many states across the country where abortion is illegal. And we know that in New Hampshire, our laws did not change, but it has now put things at a state level. So, you know, it's up for grabs. Life is up for grabs. when everything was going down with Roe v. Wade, we got a call, and a woman said, I keep hearing about these heartbeat bills. Of course, she was talking about Texas, and she said, I'm scheduled for an abortion, and I don't want to abort something with a heartbeat. Would there be a heartbeat? And of course, we know the heartbeat starts, 18 to 22 days, and we were able to say, let us make you an appointment. Come down and see us. We believe in empowering women and men with information so that they can make decisions that will lead to life-affirming decisions. So that's what we do, really, in just a quick little nutshell. Our impact, our local impact, you may have seen we reported that we served 586 individuals in the community. We taught 461 classes. There were 277 spiritual discussions. And I want to pause on that for a minute, because one of my goals as executive director for Manchester and Nashua is to increase the gospel being shared. It's not up to us who accepts the gospel, but it is up to us to be presenting the gospel. We are missionaries. And so I want to see that increased. I myself just went through evangelism training. And I'm almost finished with a second training, and then I will be taking the staff and then hopefully our volunteers through that, because we believe in John 10:10. Jesus came to give life, but pro-abundant life. We like to say we're not just pro-life, we're pro-abundant life, because we want to save lives, yes, but we want to see people come to Jesus, because that is truly a changed life. So that is a goal of mine. I'm putting that out there, because I want to be held accountable for that as executive director. I want to make sure that we are training people up and that, we are being missionaries to those who come in. Of course, everything we do is permission-based. If we ask a woman, can I pray with you? Or, can I tell you more about what I believe? If she says no, we know we stop. But we've got to take those opportunities. The world is hungry for it. And, when you translate the big statistic Ron always wants to hear was, which is so important, 106 women chose life. That's 106 babies. It is. Let's clap. It's all God. It's 100% all God. But those are babies alive today. And I want to say, that's because of you. This is your legacy work for God's kingdom right alongside of us. You're with us every day in the centers when you're praying, when you're giving, whatever it is you're doing. We know we cannot do this work without the churches. We absolutely can't. And so I'm so grateful and thankful for you. And when you take what we did last year and you translate it into money, add the pregnancy test, the ultrasound exams, material needs, that means everyone coming. I forgot to mention our gorgeous boutique. We have a beautiful boutique where moms and dads shop for all kinds of fabulous things, clothing, diapers, wipes, everything. And when you add all those material visits, the classes taught, like I said, the pregnancy test, the ultrasounds, that changed into money adds up to $265,000 that we were ministering in the community and providing for the community. So that's a number that you can put on that, but there is no number we can put on life, right? Every single human life, there's just there's no price we could put on it. It's invaluable, even one life. So recent things happening. Most of you may know that Manchester moved. We did not want to move. I think they took me kicking and screaming because I absolutely loved Lowell Street, but they were turning that building into apartments, and so we had to go. I was a little bit resistant, but God provided an amazing space at 340 Granite Street. It has free parking. People tease me because I always talk about free parking. It's the first time in Manchester since 1985 that we can have free parking. Abortions are so easy to get today, and so you'd be surprised, but it's the smallest thing that can deter a woman. Like, I gotta go park in the garage. Wait, believe it or not, we have heard it all. And so the free parking is such a big deal. Praise God. I'm just so excited about the free parking. And we got a 3D 4D machine in Nashua, which is a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's saving lives every day. The nurse down there is really booked up. Sometimes people just want to come in because it's a 3D 4D machine. We had a situation where we were kind of short-staffed, and I answered the phone. I don't normally answer the phone, but I answered the phone, and this woman was desperate to come in for an appointment. And I quickly pulled up, you know, got my glasses on, pulled up the schedule, and I was like, oh, my goodness, the nurse is booked all the way through. It was a Tuesday. We're there till 8. I was like, I don't even know if she has time to eat lunch. So I said to this woman, hey, we can see you on Thursday. And she said, no, I have to make a decision. I have to come today. And I was like, oh, man, I put her on hold. I was able to interrupt the nurse, and I said, hey, I know your schedule's booked. And she said, it's okay. Have her wait in the lobby. I will get to her. Just have her wait. And I think she was circling our building because she literally walked in the door. I was like, okay, you were standing outside the door. That's great. And so had a pregnancy test. It was positive. Had the ultrasound. I was the chaperone in the ultrasound room. We always have a chaperone in the ultrasound room. It's not always me. Sometimes it's Wendy. Sometimes it's, you know, one of our volunteers. But I was in the ultrasound room, and the woman was trembling. She was literally shaking on the table. She was so riled up. It was a typical story of guy done wrong. You know, he was already off with somebody else, and she was just needing to make decisions. I'm usually pretty quiet. I usually just stand there praying. But I'm not medical. I don't ever say anything about what the nurse is doing. I'm not medical at all. We're not supposed to do that. But I can count to two, and I could see two babies. And the nurse was doing her thing, and where I was standing, I could see the screen, and I thought, oh, boy, she's going to turn that screen, and she's going to see there's two babies. She turned the screen, and it's the Holy Spirit. This woman just stopped shaking. And, of course, the nurse said, I'm seeing two babies. The nurse, the doctor will confirm this, of course. And she just stopped shaking. God knew she needed to see two babies to choose life. I get like caught up in it because she chose life. She was like, I can't believe I have two. Now, for some people, that would be overwhelming and be like more like, oh, my word. But God knew she needed to hear that, and she chose life. It was a beautiful thing. You may have heard also an update that happened in January. That it is now approved that the abortion pill is in the local pharmacies. You know, I just had a woman who one of our staff said, I was in Walmart and I was in the pharmacy section, and I pulled there. She didn't pull it, but there was a card there saying, are you interested in the abortion pill? Come see us. Of course, you need a prescription. But the point is, you can go down to your local corner drugstore and grab a gallon of milk and your abortion now. It's so easy to have an abortion. But God is bigger than that, right? We're doing a lot of advertising. We've increased our social media advertising again. I go to the board and I'm like, can we have a little bit more money for advertising? But it's been so successful and impactful in bringing women through the doors. So those are kind of some of the local and, you know, federal updates happening. Another one I should mention, because I just saw Neil right over there, is at a state level, you know, right now it's 24 weeks, right? You can have an abortion up through 24 weeks. It used to be 40. Well, there are bills this week at the House that want to put us back to 40 weeks abortion throughout the entire pregnancy. So these are things we need to be aware of and be involved with. So our theme for this year, last year we were shining God's light, and our theme for this year is to love every heartbeat. That means love the preborn, love the moms, love the dads, love everybody. It even means to love Uncle Ned at the Thanksgiving table who wants to fight with you about abortion. You know, we have to love everybody. And where does that come from? Well, I'm just going to read to you real quick. It's actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it's from the we took it from the greatest commandment, of course, which... I had the wrong thing here. All right, here we go. Matthew 22, verse 30, starting at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. So we are to love everybody. And I don't know if this happened for anybody, but when Roe v. Wade was overturned, a lot of people took to social media and they were like cheering, some not cheering, but all of a sudden there was this situation where people professing to be Christians started to say, well, hey, it's okay, it's a woman's right, or, you know, this sort of thing. I don't know if this happened to you, but it happened to me, where people in my life started to argue about that and started to say, well, this a woman should have her right to an abortion. I was really disturbed by that. But as a review, what do we believe as Christians in the Bible? We know what the word says about abortion, right? It might not use the word abortion, but we can look at Genesis 1, the very first words of the Bible, the very first book, chapter, words God created. And by the time you get to verse 26, we're talking about being God creating human beings in his image, right? So we are image bearers of a holy God. Then we look at Exodus. We know that we are told, thou shalt not kill, right? Abortion is taking of a human life. We look at Psalm 139. There's so much through that whole chapter about being knit together. God highlights the unborn. And then again in Luke chapter 1, where Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And, you know, John the Baptist leaps in the womb. Such an incredible story when he hears the mother of his Savior speak. So again, God is highlighting life in the womb. Proverbs 24:11, rescue those being taken away to death. I mean, Neil knows about that, right? We've got to rescue those. Proverbs 31:8, speak for those who cannot speak. So we know what we're told to do as Christians, right? What is our responsibility here? So I was at something recently and abortion came up. It kind of does when you work in this. It just does. And the hostess said, oh, no, we're not going to talk about anything political. This is going to be a nice party. I don't want people fighting. And I wasn't fighting, but it's on the political agenda, right? But it's a worldview issue. It's how do we see human beings? Even secular embryologists, people who study the cells in the womb, they'll tell you it's human, right? We know it's human. That's not the argument. So what do we need to do? We need to speak up. We really do. But we must speak the truth in love, okay? And I have to tell you, I've been guilty of being bold, knowing my stuff. One time I was like, oh, don't get in the ring with me. I know my stuff. This was years ago. I was not the executive director of a pregnancy center. But, you know, Ephesians 4 tells us to speak the truth in love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what happens when we don't speak the truth in love. We're a clanging gong. We're a noisy cymbal. I've been that clanging gong. I've been that noisy cymbal. I didn't win people for Christ. I certainly didn't help the pro-life issue. So we, even though Uncle Ned is annoying us at the, I don't actually have an Uncle Ned, just so everyone knows, but even though someone's annoying us at the Thanksgiving table and wanting to fight about it, we are called as Christians to speak the truth in love. And a lot of people don't think of the greatest commandment as the most pro-life verse, but it is, right? We've got to reach people with love. And the second verse that I want to say that I think of as being pro-life is the Great Commission, right? That's in Matthew 28, where we're told to make disciples. We have to make disciples. One of the best ways we can help the situation of abortion is to tell people about Jesus. I love to see the kids going off to Sunday school. We've got to reach people, and we've got to tell them. I sat with a woman the other day. She was absolutely stunning, even with her crying face. She was just beautiful. She could have been slapped on the front of any magazine, literally. And she was a successful college graduate. She was trying to decide if she was going to have an abortion. And she was telling me a little bit about her life. And she said, from the time she was little, her dad had said, you're a mistake. I wish we'd never had you. You should never have been born. Your life is nothing. And here she sat before me, and how easy it is to think, this baby's has no value. My life had no value. What a difference the gospel makes. And I was able to tell her, let me tell you what I believe. You know, can I? I said, can I tell you what I believe? She ended up choosing life for her baby, not because of me. I don't say that because of anything I said. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to tell people about Jesus. That's what's going to change things. So Ron actually asked me, which I was reading the email, and I'm taking notes from the email. He was like, tell River of Life, what can we do? And as I'm writing notes, I'm like, you guys do so much. I was like, Ron, this is a church that like packed the tables at the banquet, that does baby bottles. We've got, you know, a liaison and volunteers here. And I was like, oh my goodness. But if I have to say, what can we do? Maybe this will speak to somebody. You know, what I've already said, we've got to speak up. We've got to tell the truth about Jesus. We want to be loving about it. And if you, are you able to, the techie ladies back there, they were so awesome. They were going to pull up, this is the friendsoflife.org. We just finished redoing our this is our friends website. And I would ask you to please pray. Please pray for us. And you can go to, can you go to the second part where it has pictures of, if you go to, here's our team. Oh, you guys did awesome. We were trying to get it all. You guys are awesome. So here's our team. This is a ministry of light. But some days we really feel the spiritual warfare. Some days our nurses, you can see the nurses right there, Rachel and Grace, they're the only two to validate life this side of heaven. They're the only two that will see those babies alive. Maybe it's Wendy or I in the room with them, but those are hard days. They're dark days. Our anchor holds. That song just means so much to me because we are not intimidated by the darkness. We go boldly forth doing this work for the Lord, but there are days we just, I get a text, an email, and someone's just like, we're praying for you. Our church prayed for you. Hey, I prayed for you. And I am just like, oh Lord, thank you. We need the encouragement. So I ask you to please pray by name for all of this staff. You know, our administrative assistants, they get everything incoming. The nurses, you already know what they do. The two center managers that are brand new, they've got so much to learn. Keith, he handles all of the finances. It's such a big job. And pray for me. I need wisdom every day. Oh, I need wisdom. And then there's giving, of course. We can't do what we do. We can't save lives if we can't turn the lights on, if we can't pay the insurance on the ultrasound machine, all that businessy stuff we have to do. We just can't do it. And, you know, the baby bottles. We like to say spare change saves lives. It's not just throwing money in a bottle. And of course, checks and cash actually do fit. But anyway, you know, one bottle just filled with random change, somebody, not me, somebody else who took the time to like average out how much was in a bottle. One bottle is about $25 if you just put change in there. That really adds up. So we do. We're so grateful when people give monthly partners or whatever it is. God may call you to give, and we so appreciate it. And volunteering, of course, I have two wonderful volunteers right here. It is a big commitment to do what they're doing. There's a training, there's coming in, and sometimes they come in and their clients didn't come in. So it is a big commitment. But you can go to the Friends of Life and find other ways to volunteer. There's, you know, something you may not have thought of, but I've had people come up to me and say, hey, you know, can I do this or that? If you have a talent, if there's something that you enjoy doing, let me know. I'm really good at plugging people into things because you'd be surprised. We had a photographer who did free photo session for all of our girls back two Christmases ago. We have an engineer who does all of our IT stuff. We can call him night or day, and he will, like, help us out. And we have an electrician that offers services, a plumber. We have a couple, a retired couple, who goes to BJ's once a month, and they'll call us and say, hey, we're at BJ's. What do you guys need right now? Give us a list. And it might be toilet paper. And that might not seem like a big deal, but it is a big deal. They'll, like, buy the giant packs. I hear I'm buying, like, the cheap stuff, and they're buying, like, the really good stuff. And so if you have something that you're like, hey, maybe I could do this, talk to us. Come talk to us. So, I want to leave you with hope. Last week I spoke at a different church with one of our nurses, and she just told three beautiful recent stories of women choosing life. And I was just, you know, I'm kind of at the bird's eye level. I'm not always down in the ultrasound rooms. I don't always see all of that, but she told three recent stories of people choosing life. It is really easy to get an abortion these days, but women are coming in by God's grace, and they are choosing life, right? Every life we claim for the kingdom of God. So now I'm going to invite Wendy. And her name is Wendy, by the way. I'm not saying it wrong. We didn't have a typo. It is Wendy. The song from the 70s, everyone knows it's Wendy. I will not sing it because people will run. Oh, here we go. And Wendy actually has a gorgeous voice. So Wendy's going to come, and she's going to share about our program, Mending Hearts. There's your microphone, Wendy. And I just want to say again, thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Pray for us. Think of us. We're so grateful for your support.
Okay. So this is my first time. I'm not very good at speaking in front of people. I'm very shy, but I feel like if God's called you to it, he's going to bring you through it. So here I am. One of the Mending Hearts program at Real Options, I think before I even explain that part of the program, I have to go back a little bit on how I ended up at Real Options. And in order to do that, I have to kind of go back and talk about a little bit about my testimony and how I got here to where I am today. So, bear with me. It's okay. Do you want the other one? Oh, thank you. I left my cheaters at home today, so I think I have to share a little bit about my past. I guess I've never shared my testimony in public before, because part of me, I just don't feel like I was complete until just recently, when God brought me through some other things I've been struggling with. But I'll go back to 1971, was a year that my mother and father found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, and out popped me. I'm the result. But they chose life. They were very young. My mother was 15. My father was 17. And my mother just leaving eighth grade, going into freshman year, and my father just graduating high school. And my mother's one of 13. My father is one of 8. And they had big families, and my father's plan, his plan, was to go in the military to follow his father and his 7 brothers' footsteps. It was just, that was his plan. And then my mother found out she was pregnant, and that changed their plans. So they chose life, and I'm very, very grateful for it, because I'm here today. In 1978, I was, you know, my life was a little bit rocky. I had some abuse, a lot of trauma in the past without going into great detail, just being abused by an uncle. That was from age 8 to age 10. In 1989 to 1990, I was in high school, and I found myself, it was a senior high school party or whatever, and I went to it, and I found myself in a vulnerable situation where I was drugged and taken advantage of that night. 2.5 months later, I found myself pregnant, I don't really remember much that night, and so I was kind of in denial. I got pregnant, and but I still chose life. I have my son Michael, who is 32 years old today, and he's my biggest blessing. My life looked very different. I had a full scholarship to go to college. I was going to get as far away from my dysfunctional family as I could, and that didn't happen. I ended up having to stay in town, and I raised my son. He was, like I said, my hugest blessing, but my life looked very different. It was going to work in full-time and sometimes 2 full-time jobs. And fast forward to 1992. I was dating someone, and I was hoping that this was somebody that was going to be in my life for a very long time. I found myself in an unplanned pregnancy. My son was just 2 years old, and well, I found out different. Like, the father didn't want nothing to do with him, so I regretfully chose abortion that time. It's not something I'm proud of. I've struggled with it for 30 long years before I healed from that. I didn't think it was possible to heal. Like, God could heal me. And I think about that lady that was sitting over there about talking a little bit about how Jesus came to save every sin, like to cover, his blood covered us all, every sin. And I'm just so grateful. Like, that's just kind of what I work through. Even I just recently had healed from that abortion that I chose 30 years ago, and it was because I found real options. A couple years ago, on Mother's Day, God was working through me some things that I hadn't completely let go of and surrendered from. And it was during the time that I was out of work, because I was in an injury, and I had a head injury, and I was just out of work for a year and a half. And during that time, when you're a single, when you're, you know, a workaholic, you just work and you just don't think of anything else. And I was serving. I come to know Christ in 2007. I found Christ, and 2007 on Mother's Day. And so 2007 on Mother's Day, I found Christ. 2007 on April 1st, I got baptized. And then I was on fire for Jesus. And I worked through all the things from my past, all my broken past. I also had a miscarriage. I was planned to be married, and in year 2000, and found myself in an unplanned pregnancy. But I was also engaged to be married in just like 4 months from then, and I ended up having a miscarriage, and that did something, because I felt like I didn't know God back then, but I was blaming him. I don't know how you can blame somebody that you don't even know, but I saw, you know, I had that loss of a miscarriage, but I kept thinking back at the time that I chose abortion, and I was just like, this is what I deserve. I did this to myself. And I know now that God doesn't work that way. Thank God I found him. And even as a Christian, I worked through all the turmoil of all the brokenness. And I still carried that one thing I swore I was going to take it to my grave. I was never going to share that with a soul, because so much shame and guilt and hurt. But God had other plans for me. I found Life Church, who's where I go to church now. And on Mother's Day of 2021, beginning of 2021, I asked God, you know, I'm out of work and I have nothing else to do. And I'm like, I had nothing else but to do but sit at Jesus' feet. And during that time was, I feel like, what God brought me through the last part of the healing process that I need to work through to get to my purpose of why I'm here on this earth. And on Mother's Day, I was able to go to my pastor and tell them about what happened and voice it out loud, confessing it out loud for the very first time in my life. And I can't tell you the relief, the weight it lifted. And I knew I had a lot more work to do to get through, you know, to get past that, but it started the process of my healing. And instead of looking, you know, my pastor looking at me with, you know, shame, you know, like regret or anything like that, they didn't judge me. I didn't see judgment on their face at all. I just saw that they cried just as hard as I did. They mourned with me. They prayed, mighty prayer warriors in my life. I'm so grateful. And that was the start. And then 2 weeks later, I ended up another service, and it was on forgiveness. And again, I had a little just aha moment. I'm like, okay, you know, obviously I'm not done working through this yet. And so I went up to the pastor and I said, what if the person you can't forgive is yourself? Because something that you did, something that you chose. See, all the other things that were done to me was not my choice. It was just something that was done to me. But that one decision in my life, that was something I did, that I decided, and I just had a really hard time getting through that. And he said, yes, Wendy, you have to heal. Yes, you have to forgive yourself too. And so he looked at me and he said, are you ready to heal from this? And I said, yes. And so he got me in contact with Real Options. And I think Lindsay was the first one to talk to me about that. And then shortly after, I started the Mending Hearts program. 30 years later, God wasn't done with me. He kept chasing. I think of that song, Reckless Love. I don't know if anybody knows it, how he just chases after you. Even you come to him, and it's like there's some things you just get so busy in life that you just don't give yourself time to heal from. I'm telling you, there's healing. I'm standing proof of it today. And God had a plan for me back then, even when I didn't know him. And that was to lead me to Real Options. And during that time, I was, it's a 10-week course, okay? It's a 10-week Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free. Highly recommended. If you know of anybody that is struggling with this and needs to have complete healing from it, I highly recommend our Mending Hearts program. But it took me 8 months. So, like, they gave me the time. Like, it wasn't just you come in for 10 weeks and you're done. They went at my own pace. Some of these were really hard, these chapters, and some of them were like, took me like 3 weeks to get through. So they gave me that time. I'm not as graceful as Lindsay. Well, one of the ones that took me like 3 weeks to get through was, it's describing what God's love is for you. And then it also has just a couple of exercises they want you to work through. And it says, were your parents for you love based on good behavior or standards of performance? If so, if you have trouble believing in your Father, Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally, if you have parents who don't keep their promises and frequently change their minds, it can affect your ability to grab on to God's promise and believe they are for you. And it just says in John 4:8, that God is love. And then it goes on to say, read 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And I remember when I first came to God, that was one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, but it was always based on, I felt, what the perfect relationship would be like, what it would feel like to really be loved by another person. And a lot of people use that at their weddings as love is patient, love is kind. And so, but when I did this lesson, it gave me a whole nother, like a light bulb moment. And it says, in the place of love, put the word my Heavenly Father in the word, in the place of he in that scripture, place the word it. And so when I did that and I read it out loud for the first time, it states, my Heavenly Father is patient. My Heavenly Father is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not keep no record of wrongs. Thank God. My Heavenly Father does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. He always protects. He always trusts. He always perseveres. And our Heavenly Father never fails. Okay? I wrote down the date that I had the aha moment. It was 10/12/21. And I didn't realize until after, like even last night, working up to what I was going to share, was I remember like God had to bring me through that thing, the thing I had the hardest time healing from, to get to where I am today and to put me into what his purpose is for me. And then, so 10/12/21, And 10/12/22 is the day I started working at Real Options. God is just blowing my mind here. Like, I don't know if you've all had any of those moments, but even last night, like, so I remember, like, going through a class, and it talks about how your heart's like a puzzle. And then you write down all the things that you need to forgive or be forgiven for. And you just start shading off that as you go through it. And I will say Mother's Day 2007, I found salvation on Mother's Day. Years later, Mother's Day 2021 is when I found Real Options and was able to finally heal from that, from the abortion. And mending hearts. Sorry, I'm reading. And Mother's Day of 2023 will be our walk for life for Real Options. And I'm so excited because I get to be part of that. And I'm hoping that, you know, well, I'm not hoping. I know that my testimony will help someone. And it's just as that lady was talking about how you're not meant to keep, you know, like God, he went to the cross to make us completely free and not to hold anything back. I mean, he already knows, right? So I can't say enough about it. Mending Hearts, if you're interested in coming to, they work through relief and denial, anger, forgiveness, depression, letting go, and acceptance. Thank you.
I just want to publicly thank Wendy for sharing her story, because I didn't even know all of that, and I'm her boss. But, you know, she felt led to do that, and I said, this is a really safe place to do that. And so I was the first person to talk to Wendy on the phone, and I just want to give God all the glory, because look at where he's brought her. And his hand is on her life, and she has such a beautiful way with our clients because she can relate on so many levels. And so I just want to say thank you, Wendy, for your bravery. Satan tried to keep her from getting here. Even you saw she walked in really late. She was lost many times, and she was like, I will not be intimidated by this. She was like, I am going to get there. And so that's who she is. Pray for her. Thank you so much.
One second. I wanted to thank you both for coming, really. It's such a privilege to have you. Thank you for sharing your testimony, because those things can be painful, and it can be scary, and not always do churches feel like the safest place where you can unpack in front of people publicly. So thank you for that, and thank you, Lindsay, for coming. I wanted to just, you know, get to a point where we pray for Real Options. Oops, sorry. And then I wanted to also make you known two ways we can give to their cause. And I'll let Ron share about the baby bottles in a second here. But we have a slide I want to show you. This is the coolest thing. This is like we're getting all techie. And this is just, I love this nest of people back here. Making it easier. But you can now text donations to 84321. And just text your dollar amount, and bam, it's out. Or you can also donate using your Church Center app. Or you can write a check, and you can just sort of put it in the box back there or whatever, right? But the idea is we would like to match, as River of Life, whatever we give here today, up to $2,000. So there's a potential, you know, to really give them, send them off with a blessing, right? So you with me on that? Do you feel the challenge? Okay, cool. I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand off to you, Ron. Cool. So, God, thank you for Real Options. Thank you that they blessed us today with an update. Thank you that they Lord gave us a call for ways that we can serve and get involved, because Father, we as well appreciate and honor life, and we honor that we are image bearers of you, Father God, and we want to not only just protect, which is foundational, God, we want to protect babies, but Lord, we also want to come alongside moms and dads who are in crisis, and we don't want to judge them. We want to help them, Father. We want to be able to provide. We want to be able to educate, to teach, to encourage, to help them get free, to help them to be better parents. Father, we want to help them get into homes, help them get into jobs, whatever they need to become successful, Father. So I just ask that, Lord, that mission of empowering the entire family will go out, Father, and will be a huge blessing, not only from Real Options, but also from River of Life and from every other church, God, that hears the call to connect and to engage the kingdom of God on that level. I thank you for this church and my brothers and sisters who are here today, Father. I love them all in Jesus' name. I heard two things, and I just want to encourage you, because it was said by someone else, not me, so you know that it's not like just me pumping you up. But number one, I heard them say that you're safe, and so I wanted to thank you for being safe people. And then the other thing that I heard Lindsay say was, but you already do so much. And so thank you that you guys are a church who's recognized by another organization for doing so much. Right? Because we could be known as the church that does the minimum. Right? And the church is you. It's us, right? And so when we leave this place, we are the church. And so thank you for not being the bare minimum, but being the extravagant lovers. Amen? Thank you. So I'll pass it off for Ron.
Yeah, just real quick. So we know that Real Options does 3 fundraisers each year. Baby bottles in February and March. The Walk for Life in May, and then the banquet in October, of which we had 40 people at last time, which was great. So I just wanted to give you a bit of logistics. We have the bottles here, and we're going to have them give them out? Okay, great. So a bottle is coming your way. They're great to just put somewhere, throw change in, and as Lindsay said, dollar bills work, and also checks. So let's give it until about 6 weeks. And I'll be accountable to bring the bottles back to Real Options because we volunteer each week, so we'll just bring it along as we take them. So when you bring them back, we're going to leave a box up here like we did last time, right? A small box. Yeah. So when your bottles are filling, you bring them back. You just leave them in a little box, and I'll pick them up and get them into Real Options. Okay. So we'll go until March 26th. That's 6 weeks. All right. So. Thank you all. And Lindsay and Wendy, thank you.
So with that, would you let them know once they take a bottle, they can pick up their kids and go?
Once you have your bottle, you can pick up your kids and go.